Welcome to Gardening Naturally with Jeff Ferris. Call or text Jeff now with your gardening and landscape questions. 512-836-0590.
Welcome back, everybody. It's second hour of Gardening Naturally. I had to cut the last caller off because you're on a break here. But I do want to bring something up that they were mentioning. They identified they have a disease problem with tomatoes in a raised bed, and they've been planting the same tomatoes or tomatoes continuously in this bed for quite a while. That can build up the disease that affects tomatoes. Crop rotation is one of the best things you can do. So what do you rotate with? Tomatoes, when we talk about tomatoes in Central Texas, there are usually three cousins of tomatoes. We have tomatoes, and their cousins would be eggplant, peppers, and potatoes. So if I have tomatoes growing in a bed and I want to rotate the crop, I would take the tomato out and not plant peppers, potatoes, or eggplant. So those four crops kind of need to go together when you rotate them through your garden. If you're trying to get that rotation in place, don't pull your tomatoes out and turn around and plant eggplant in the bed. They're cousins, so that means the diseases that would be there would still remain. And the idea of the rotation is you pull out a tomato, the disease starves if there isn't something there for it to eat. If I can keep a tomato out of that bed for a long enough period of time, the disease that affects the tomato will starve and go away, and then it's safe to put a tomato in there again. So this gets to be kind of troublesome. It's hard to have enough space, or how do I rotate things like that? But if I'm doing a rotation, tomatoes, peppers, eggplants, and potatoes are all cousins. So I would not be planting one of those after the other. That's one of the things. Now, if you're pulling out because you have a determinant tomato and it's not going to put on any more tomatoes, plant whatever is available at your local nursery as a start. Stuff that does really good in the early cold spring is probably not going to do good in the fall because it's starting out with such hot temperatures. So the nurseries will be bringing in the varieties that should work best to be planted now. So go with what you like, have them follow whatever you're taking out this year that's not going to grow anymore. Go ahead and start your new tomatoes. If you're doing crop rotation, tomatoes, peppers, eggplant, potatoes, they should not go in one after the other. Let's go to the phone. This is Matt. Good morning, Matt. What can I help you with?
Good morning. I have a fig tree which was container grown. It's been in the ground. This is the second year. It's 4 feet tall. It's doing fine. I need to move it to some other location. Both would be in full sun. Is this a terrible time to move it, or what are your recommendations? It's in the way of something else that needs to happen there.
It would be great if you could wait till fall. Now, fall does okay. not necessarily mean I got to wait till it's dormant.
Right.
But, say, much cooler weather means less stress on the tree.
Okay.
And if you move it then, do not be at all surprised if you dig it out of the ground, you put it in a new hole, and every leaf falls off of it. Don't let that bother you. But if you can wait to fall, it would be a lot happier on you and the plant.
I can do that. Like, we're talking like October.
Yeah, when we get that break, you know when it happens. Everybody knows when summer ends in Texas.
Okay, yeah. I can. And should I carry with it a large amount of the soil that it's in now in the new hole, or does it matter?
It would be nice only because I want to dig up that root ball, and I would like to bring as many roots with me as I can. And that means you're going to be carrying a lot of the soil that's there, too. So try to keep that all as one piece.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Bye.
Thank you, Matt. Let's go to, what do we got? Plenty of time. Let's go to Lou. Good morning, Lou. What can I help you with?
Jeff, talked to you some time ago about Airlane, a Satsuma tree, and I did it, I think, the end of April. And I noticed last week that the lower one was turning brown, the leaves on me. So today I opened it up and looked at it, and I apparently had too much water in there and kind of drowned it, I guess. But when should I take that other one off? And after I take it off, should I paint the cut marks with something to seal it?
You can trim citrus pretty much any time you would like. There's no particular time of the year where it's a higher risk than the other. Citrus do not mind being trimmed. I would argue it would actually help it put on some new growth. So if you have the time, you could trim it today with a good sharp tool and that'll be fine. However, we don't paint the wounds on any tree but oak trees. And the arborists are still kind of doing this big arm wrestling match over whether we should even bother painting the oak trees. So if you make the cut on the citrus, you do not have to worry about the wound and you do not have to paint it.
Okay. Well, is it time to take the other one off?
That's kind of up to you. If it's not causing the tree problems, you got to remember, every leaf on a tree is feeding the tree. So if the tree is bushed out and nice and healthy and got lots of good growth on it, it would be okay to remove that. But if it's not as full as you would like it to be, then that part you want to cut off, if it's healthy and has leaves on it, it's trying to help the tree grow.
So, yeah, okay, I guess I could leave it on a little longer.
Yeah, you're not going to hurt it at the moment by doing so, and it's the time of the year where it should probably not be trying to bloom and set fruit. So we're not stealing from the energy of the tree. We're helping it store some more food. You won't hurt it to cut it, but you're not going to hurt it if you want to leave it a while longer.
Yeah, well, I've learned a few things since I put that on in April. I come across a guy that has a little bit different process. I used the big plastic bottle, you know, and slid it down the side and put the peat moss in there. Mm-hmm. And he informed me that's not a real good way to do that because of the plastic being so tough. He uses just plastic wrap where he puts a square out, and he just tapes it together to make a round circle around the tree.
Yeah.
And then ties it up at the bottom and then fills it up from the top down. And it sure looks like a lot better system.
Yeah, I've used the plastic wrap only because it was more flexible, because where I was trying to do the work was between some branches and it was a lot easier to work with. But I've seen it done both ways. But if you want to hang on to it or let it go, that's all you got to do is check and make sure you've got the roots you're looking for. Cutting now, the plant can handle it. So up to you as to how comfortable you are with it.
Well, what do you think, another couple of weeks, a month? Or?
Well, I'm concerned about the hot weather that's coming on. It doesn't affect citrus as it does many other plants. They like the hot weather, so just making sure that you can provide the environment once you've done this, that you can keep everybody happy and healthy in really hot weather. If you can do that, it would be fine.
Okay, I'll keep an eye on it. Thank you.
Thank you. Folks, we're up against a break here. This is Gardening Naturally. Give me a call. The number's 512-836-0590. Anthony, I see you there. Hang on. We'll catch you after the break.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Welcome back, folks. It's official. Barry's a hurricane, so looking bad. Folks in Louisiana, button down. Going to be raining today. Let's go to the phone. This is Anthony. Good morning, Anthony. What can I help you with?
Good morning, Jeff. How are you doing today?
Fine day. I'm glad I'm not in Louisiana.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, today I was enjoying the cool weather this morning, and I was trimming up some of my pecan trees. Well, when I was cutting through a branch, I by mistake, I guess I didn't make a clean cut, and I tore like a 5-inch tear through the bark, and then you can see the inner of the bark. Now, I was wondering, I was trimming, precise trimming, and I just don't want to cut the whole branch down. Is there any way I could tape it up and hopefully it heals up by itself? Or do, what can I do to save the branch?
If you can make a clean cut to remove the tear, okay, and is it simply the bark that peeled, or did it actually break into the wood some?
It broke into the wood, too. You can actually see the inner, like, I don't know what they call it, but the inside of the part. So you can see the part where it heals, like, most of the time, and then right there is, like, I mean, you can see it's a clean, I mean, tear. I mean, so I can see the white part of the pecan tree.
Now, if you were to cut it at the end of the tear, so you take another 5 inches off, does that make a big difference to the branch?
Well, the branch, there's no leaves on the that end, so I don't know if it would kill it, the branch off. It's like 2 inches thick, and I just wanted to save it because I was trying to make it go up some, so, and I made that wrong cut.
Okay, first off, if you walked away right this minute, it's highly unlikely you would have hurt the tree. Because imagine, you're intentionally making a cut to trim it. Hey, a 40-mile-an-hour breeze could have done the same thing to the tree. Could have put enough pressure, could have made that happen. And it happens all the time in nature. And, you know, the tree, within about 72 hours, will release enough sap to basically seal off that wound and start the process of repairing itself. So if I did nothing, more than likely the tree is going to be okay. However, if you can make another new clean cut, take that 5 inches of damage off now. Just simply move your cut down a little bit more, and knowing that it's damaged, you know, take extra care to make it a clean, good cut. That would probably be better for the tree. So if you've got the time and you can take the time to make it nice and neat, yeah, it's worth doing so.
Now, would there be, like, leaves coming out of that cut where I cut through? Because there's no leaves on the other end. So if I make that 5-inch cut, there will be absolutely nothing. There will be nothing to grow there. I mean, I don't know. There's no leaves. So it would just be the bark.
Well, and the tree can actually do that. You can have a branch that has no leaves, no stems, nothing, just a long piece of branch. And over time, that tree can force a bud to form and can force it to make a new branch and leaves to come out. If this were, for example, a fig tree where you made the cut, new branches will come out right at the edge of the cut. That's just kind of how that tree works. On this one, you may see a new bud form where you made the cut or somewhere else on that branch. So it's not going to harm the tree to leave it be. But if you can make it neat and clean, it would be beneficial.
Awesome. All right. That's what I wanted to know. I was worried at first. I did not want to cut it all the way back. So then it looked real funny and in shape. So that's great. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. Good luck.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, folks, let's talk about that, because we have folks out here now doing it. First off, arborists in Texas locked themselves in a room. It was a terrible, bloody mess, and when they came out, they agreed. The best time to be trimming oak trees is the 1st of July through about the end of January, because there's a little beetle. He's notorious for spreading oak wilt. During this period of time, from July through the end of January, is the least invasive time for this beetle. It is the lowest risk of having the disease spread, so that makes it a relatively safe time to do your trimming on your oak trees. Okay, that's for oak trees. So now we're in oak tree category. On your other trees, it kind of depends on the tree. If it's a safety issue, it's always a good time to trim it. Let's be honest here. Safety is important. If it's a broken branch, no matter what kind of tree, it's worth trimming it to make sure the tree is healthy. If it's a mistake, Anthony, oops, little part. Okay, clean it up. We're okay doing these things now. If I have a broken branch or a cut, an intentional or unintentional break into the tree, the tree's first response is very much like people who get a cut. We bleed and create platelets, and it makes a scab and it stops bleeding. In a tree, it bleeds sap. That sap starts to flow to push out damage, to cover the wound, and it dries and makes its own natural seal. Can take roughly 72 hours or so for it to do this. So a tree tries to correct the wounds immediately. And once it does that, the entire process starts in the tree to repair the wound. Now, the repair may be for the tree to grow completely over the wound. Like when we make a cut on the edge or up next to the trunk, done correctly in a couple of years, you will never see it because the tree will grow over the wound. It'll look like one smooth spot. In damaged spots, it will try to cover it and maybe put out a new shoot on the edge of the break or somewhere else on the tree so it can replace what's been damaged. So it is our advantage to keep them looking good and properly trimmed. It makes them able to handle the strong breezes better. It makes them healthier in ice storms. It makes them healthier, period. And of course, they look good. But when this kind of thing happens, first off, the tree can handle itself pretty well. You made a cut and broke something. Hey, that happens all the time. A heavy breeze can do that. Too big a bird landing on the branch. Who knows? But make a neat cut. We only paint oak trees. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to run out there and go, oh, my such and such tree, I need to spray the wound. No, you don't. We'll be okay. We are still only spraying the oak trees. You don't have to use the tar stuff. Grab a can of latex paint. It will work. But when we paint, it's make the cut, paint the wound. Don't make the cut and come back next weekend. You're wasting your time. The tree's already sealed itself over. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. We're coming down to the bottom of the hour. We'll need to take a break for news. Give me a call. The number's 512-836-0590.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Welcome back, everybody. Kind of busy day here, and you know the craziness of it is that we now have a hurricane going on. Bill, what happened?
Yeah, since the last time we talked, the National Hurricane Center, Jeff, officially upgraded Barry to a hurricane and also said that it made landfall. It's now inland over Louisiana, and now the heaviest of the weather conditions, the rain, the storm surge now just beginning to impact the coast there, and it will be moving slowly off to the north. So flooding a big concern for Barry. The good news is it stays well to our east.
Okay, so we got a hurricane to the far east here. How's it affecting us?
Yeah, the effects here are actually a positive effect. Lower humidity, dry conditions, because the air has to sink somewhere outside of a hurricane, and that happens to be near us. So that means a little chance of rain today. Partly sunny, 95, 74 tonight, and still dry tomorrow and Monday, 96 with sunshine. A slight chance of a thunderstorm, especially in the hill country later tomorrow. But outside of that, it looks dry and hot over the next week or so.
Okay, well, from now on, I'm always going to ask you what the date is when you give
right.
your report, because I have a feeling that...
Today's date is May 13th. Oops.
Oh, you gave it away there, Bill. Okay, well, we're going to enjoy the rest of the weekend, and hopefully this storm doesn't decide to park itself and rain endlessly, because 20 inches of rain, I don't care where you live, that's a lot of water.
That's a lot of water, especially over the Mississippi River, which has already been running very high over the past few months. They'll be hoping that storm gets out of there quickly.
Well, I'm glad it's not here, but do wish it wasn't there either.
Yes, I agree. It should work its way north and east and stay away from us. So that's some good news.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you tomorrow then, Bill.
All right. Talk to you then.
Yeah, folks, here it comes. It's going to be the first one of hopefully a quiet season. Let's go to, this is Mike. Good morning, Mike. What can I help you with?
Good morning, Jeff. I have I just purchased a hibiscus about 2 months ago, and it's about a foot and a half tall, which is beautiful green, and it's blooming. I mean, it has premature blooms on it, and once they start blooming, it's like somebody takes a pair of scissors and just cuts the stem.
Mm-hmm. Okay, couple of things. There's an annoying little pest that does that on blossoms on tomatoes. And also there are several other pests that can be causing stress to the plant that makes it go, you know, I just really can't deal with this flower right now. And we'll toss it off. The plant will literally go, nope, sorry, we don't need it. And basically turns off the cells around that stem and lets it fall off. So a couple of things you need to look at here. Examine a bud very closely where it is connected to the stem before it opens. You want to look for a little spot. There'll be a bunch of them. This spot is possibly an aphid. It could be any color from a really pale yellow to a jet black in terms of the color of the aphid. And it'll be half the size of a grain of rice, maybe smaller. Look around there because those particular insects are vampires. They're taking energy out of the leaf and flower bud, but they're also weakening the physical bond there. There is an insect called a thrip, notorious for living in the blossom itself. And when these blossoms kind of open, do they look like there's any damage in what's there?
Or? No, not at all.
Okay, that's probably a good thing because a thrip will tend to damage the bloom. You'll see it when it starts to open up. But you want to keep a really close eye and look, you know, really get down there and look where the stem and the bud come together and see if there are any insects. There's the shielding, the green that grows over the bud and the flower opens out of it. Examine it for insects in there also. You can take one that's fallen off and, you know, really give it a good view.
Okay.
If you find anything, a simple soapy water spray, a couple of teaspoons of a liquid soap in a quart of water. You can technically spray it any time of the day, but consider doing it late in the evening.
Okay.
Soak that area. I mean, spray till you just get a drip or two falling off and move to the next blossom. It's a safe spray. It's usually pretty effective against those kind of insects, and it shouldn't harm the hibiscus itself either. And see if that doesn't help with trying to stop what might be insects attacking the blossom.
Okay.
The other half of that is, you know, it's okay to give it a little fertilizer to help push it so that it'll put on more growth and more blooms for you.
What about foliar feeding with Hastagrow?
Oh, works fine. Great choice. Maybe every other week.
Okay. I have another question related to that. As far as foliar feeding, I like doing it once every 2 months or so. Is that too often? And plus, with this hot weather now, can I do it in the morning, or is it best to do it in the evening?
Once every other month is definitely fine. You could probably do it as often as every other week if you wanted to go to that trouble.
Okay.
As for when you're doing it, real generic number here. It varies with every plant, but speaking generically, if the temperature is below roughly 80 degrees, then it's effective. If it's above 80 degrees, the plant literally closes up to preserve water in it, and the foliar feeding won't be anywhere near as effective as it would be below 80 degrees. So use temperature as your guide, not time of day, not not what month it is, but what the temperature is, because that's going to determine whether or not what you're doing is going to work.
Okay, so I can either do it early in the morning or late in the evening after it gets down to below 80 degrees.
Yeah, the only thing with that is it was like 9:30 at my house last night, and I was still in like 85. So early in the morning is probably, at least in the summer, going to be the your best chance to do it.
Sure. Okay. Gosh, Lee, I had one more. I guess that'll do for now.
No, you can always give me a call back if you need to, Mike.
Okay, Jeff, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I really enjoy your program.
Well, thank you, Mike. Let's go to, this is Kenneth. Good morning, Kenneth. What can I help you with?
Well, good morning. I have, four bottle brush bushes that are probably in the neighborhood of about 10 years old. A couple of them are considerably bigger than the others, because they're all planted in rock around here, of course. And I'm trying to get them to have a little bit of uniformity in their appearance, plus cut out some of the gangliness that has come along with this. And they've already done their bloom for the season, which was very short for this one, which was surprising. But I'm trying to figure out how is the best way to get this gangliness out of them and try to get a little bit of a uniformity back into their appearance.
Have at it with a good set of pruners. This would be a decent time because the bloom is already gone, and you can get rid of them and standardize the shape and appearance of all of them. Find your smallest one. Do what little trimming you want to do on the smallest one, and then you can make all the other ones equal to it.
Okay, I didn't know if that was going to damage them or not.
No, now you may wind up getting them to put on some new growth, and that may mean later in the fall, you know, before we get into cold weather, you might want to trim it up a little bit more, but you can trim them now, you can even them up and get that appearance that you want. You won't harm them doing so. You don't want to remove more than about a third of the plant at a time.
Right, right. Okay, well, I can control that, and I think that takes care of my question. I'll get them back into growing condition. I appreciate the help.
Thanks for the call, Kenneth.
Thank you.
Folks, Candace, Marilyn, I see you there, but we're up against a break. If you can hang on, we'll be right back.
This is Gardening Naturally on News Radio KLBJ with host Jeff Ferris. Jeff is ready for your calls or text messages at 512-836-0590.
Welcome back, folks. You know, it's going to be a nice day, not so humid, sunshine, and that means you should be heading out to the Natural Gardener. 8648 Old Bee Caves Road. Not only do you get to see some beautiful grounds, and for those of you wondering what to plant, many of the plants they carry are planted on the property and have been there for years, so you can see what a mature bur oak will look like, or maybe a new canby oak. See that Texas ash? They've got several on the property, including apples and figs and all of the shrubs. So an opportunity to see the future of what will happen when you plant your plant. What's more, they got a great sale going on this weekend. You can get 20% off of shrubs and wildlife accessories. So wander the grounds, look at the beauty that they've planted, go pick up the plant and get it on sale. Head out to the Natural Gardener. Again, that's 8648 Old Bee Caves Road, and have just a wonderful, beautiful, sunny Saturday in the summer. Let's go back to the phones. This is Marilyn. Good morning, Marilyn. What can I help you with? Did I not push the button here? Let's try. Okay. Well, Marilyn, for some reason, can't seem to connect to you here. Hang on a second. There we go, Marilyn. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. The first question is about a plumeria.
Yes.
I want to know how to propagate it. Somebody gave me the stem is about 12 inches long, and it has about 6 inches of green foliage on it, leaves.
Okay. So
what do I do with this stick?
Well, now, I have a question for you. The end of the stick where it was cut, if I put my finger on the cut, is it dry?
It's dry.
Stick in a pot, quite
just
literally.
Like that.
Just that simple. Get yourself a small pot with a good potting soil in it. Moisten the soil really well and stick the plumeria stem cut end into the soil 3 or 4 inches deep. Deep enough that it will stand up on its own.
Great.
And that should probably be enough. Now, the top part with all the leaves on it, you might remove a few of those leaves.
Okay.
Because the plant's going to throw them off anyway. It's not going to keep them all, but I would leave a few.
Okay.
But that should get you a plumeria in no time at all.
Oh, thank you. The next one is a bird of paradise. I bought two plants. They're about 2 feet high, and they're in an 8-inch pot. And I just got them recently, and I know I need to repot them. What potting soil would you suggest, and do I give it fertilizer or what?
Okay, you're going to have a little shocker here. First off, if I have an 8-inch one, an 8-inch pot, I could probably get one of those really standard, you know, the brown clay 10-inch classic Italian pots. No, nothing fancy. And I want a potting soil that drains pretty well.
Okay.
Now, the problem we're going to have here is that if I leave them in the pot, I want to not necessarily put them somewhere warm in the winter, but I do not want to forget to occasionally water them. Not a lot. You're going to see them freeze back to the ground in that pot if we have a cold winter. If I put them somewhere where they're protected, they may keep growing for you, but it's not unusual for that plant to, if it were in the ground, to freeze to the ground in the winter and come back up in the spring. So if it's in that pot, don't be surprised if that happens. It's still alive.
Well, may I plant it in the ground?
You could plant it in the ground right now. You want to work the soil so that it's broken up. You want to make sure there's some drainage, but there is plenty of time for them to set root and get going the rest of this year. Now, they may not bloom for you, but they will get growing. They will set roots. They'll probably freeze to the ground in the winter and come up again for you in the spring.
Mm-hmm. Because in this area, you just see so many birds of paradise, and they're really all in the ground. Do I give it any fertilizer?
You shouldn't really have to. You wouldn't hurt it if you used a little seaweed with it to help it set some roots.
Okay.
But, yeah, you could plant it in the ground now.
Okay, and I wanted to kill some more poison ivy, and I know I use 20% vinegar. I have that. When I called in 2 years ago, I think you said to use a half a cup or a cup of orange oil and some soap with it. But
correct.
Maybe, is that correct?
Yeah, 1 gallon of vinegar, mm-hmm. 1 cup mm-hmm. of orange oil, and about 1 teaspoon of liquid soap. And that
and
makes a pretty
potent. It can't be detergent. It has to be soap, right?
Well, no, for this you can use a detergent because we're trying to kill the plant. So you're not going to hurt it using a detergent.
And I just want to make a comment on the Esperanza.
Mm-hmm.
Where I live, they're all over, and I have 2 in my front yard that I've had for about 15 years. And like you said, it is the easiest plant to take care of. And I have one in my backyard that's about 12 feet tall, and they're just loaded with blooms. And the only thing I do is the first freeze or around December, the end of December, I cut them all down to about 6 inches, and then they come up in the spring, and they are blooming just ferociously.
Yep, they're an excellent plant for our environment.
Well, thank you so much. You are just so informative and smart. Thank you.
Thank you, Marilyn. Let's try to get another call in. This is Candace. Candace, what can I help you with?
Hi, how are you this morning?
Fine. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm going to give you a heads up on the type of gardener I am. I'm a renter, so the majority of my plants are potted. I'm going to be moving from Austin to Brenham. And what I typically grow are succulents because, you know, they're easy. I really, really struggle with flowering plants. I don't know what I'm doing wrong with them, but what I would really like to grow is gardenias. And I've struggled and struggled in Austin with gardenias. And I was told it's because we don't get humid enough. Is that...
No. No.
That's not true.
Gardenias, there are varieties that will do particularly well in Texas. And the other thing they need is they need super duper drainage. They absolutely hate wet feet. So I need to put them in a pot that drains very well with a potting soil that drains very well. And they should do okay. There's plenty of in-ground plantings of gardenias in this part of town, but drainage, drainage, drainage. That's going to be the number one thing that's going to make you successful. Candace, okay. We're at the bottom of the hour. We're going to have to take a break. Thank you for
the
call.
You gave me the information I needed.
Yeah, and don't be afraid of them. They should do fine in Brenham in a container that drains. So
thank you so much. You have a great day.
You too. Folks, if you got any questions, I will be back tomorrow at 8. Thank you much for the day. Go enjoy a beautiful Saturday. Is